And we are live.
Good Monday morning to everyone. It is Monday, September 22nd, 2025. And this is episode 37, 35 of the Survival Podcast. And today's episode is called Reality is Coming, and it's a bitch. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today. We're going to talk about Charlie Kirk, more on the shooting. I am incredibly impressed that Erica Kirk was able to say that she forgives the man that shot her husband on Sunday. That does not mean that I do. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit from a standpoint of my beef is not so much with that one person. This radicalized Jack Spirko that you are shocked to see, some of you apparently. I don't know how much you've been listening for real over the last 17 years, if it's that surprising. But this is like that straw on the camel's back that breaks it. This is not the thing. This is the last thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to also, I'm going to, again, advise you so strongly, if you've never done it, to read Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today and why you need to read it even if you don't want to be a radical, right? Because when you read this book, so many things that don't make sense to you will make sense. And I don't mean from a standpoint of what you're going to do. I mean, when you see people do things and you're like, what the hell? Why would no, you be like, oh, oh. So if you actually want to understand the playbook that's being run on you on a daily basis and has been run on you for the last 100 years, you need to read this book. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Alinsky too. And one of the things in the book is that if you are going to be a political organizer and you're going to look at the history of the world and say, like, how does this apply today? You always have to judge history in the context of the time, which is exactly the opposite of what the left does. That's why they don't actually implement this playbook perfectly, and they still win because it's a much better playbook than the one that we've been operating under, if that makes sense. It will when I talk about it, I think. Then we're going to talk about Trump's new H-1B visa program and how the messenger can destroy the message, even if the message would have otherwise been well received. And when I get to that, I think that'll make sense. But if you didn't hear, if you want to bring in Indian labor or Pakistani labor, any labor under H-1B right now, it's going to cost you $100,000. Yep. Now, if you already have an H-1B worker, they can stay. They don't have to pay the new money. This applies to new people only. But, of course, now the right, who was in love with it, hates it because Lutnick is retarded. I'm sorry, that's the case. And I understand exactly how it was the case because, unlike everybody else running their hole about this, do you know what I did? This is fucking funny, right? I went to whitehouse.gov and I read the actual executive order to see what it said. Because, like, Trump caved. Caved to what? How about you read what was actually signed and then see where the fuck up lies. And it lies with Lutnick and Trump for appointing him and for Trump not correcting him. So I can either assume that Trump just let it ride or didn't know himself. I don't know. We'll talk about it. I don't defend the orange man, you know, any more than I have to, I guess. Then the Ukrainian government has a new strategy to win the war against Putin. I know. We'll conscript senior citizens. They have signed a new law. They're now conscripting men over the age of 60. Exactly where the top is, I don't know. Like, 61? Okay, yeah, you're in. Is it 66? Is it 60? I don't know. But they're taking literal guys, dudes older than me, and putting them on the battlefield. That reeks of desperation. I'll tell you more when we get there, but what it makes me think of is this. In World War II, when Germany was on its last legs, the government put out a recipe for people to make bread using as a partial ingredient to cut the total number of ingredients, sawdust. When you can't put bread on the table of your people, you are all but done. Yeah, well, when you're putting 60-year-olds on the battlefront, you're done. You're done. Putin has a new deal out. I haven't heard the particulars, but the Trump administration says it sounds reasonable. I bet you a little naked piano playing with his penis man will say no deal. He better make a deal soon because he's going to hang from a light post if he doesn't. I'm telling you. Oh, then there's a post by Hillary Clinton that we'll talk about. This will be a very short segment, but this is like the irony of ironic ironies. She did a post on free speech supporting
of course, Jimmy Kimmel, because that's very important now. And apparently Mike, what's his name? Iger, is a, the head of Disney. He apparently is a government employee, I guess. But the FCC said, I don't give a fuck what the FCC said. If they didn't actually do anything, I don't give a shit what they said. I don't care. I'm telling you right now. You know why Kimmel got fired? Because his ratings have been doing this for 10 fucking years. For those on the audio only, my arm is on about a 30-degree downward angle. If he had the ratings he had 10 years ago, they would have stuck with him through this. And turns out, they're not. When your boss says, look, bro, this is what you need to do to keep your job, and you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Your boss is like, so you just told me to get fucked, so you can get fucked because you're fired. Because that's what actually happened to Jimmy Kimmel. He didn't get instantly fired because the FCC said something. There was a whole bunch of local. I'll get to it. But I don't give a shit. Cry me a freaking river. But if we don't speak out, shut up, those days are over. I don't care. I don't want to hear your shit anymore. But if we do that, then they already did it. Quit being a bunch of groveling little bitches. Fight fire with fire. Or keep fighting fire with feels. I thought the left was the party of feels. Freaking man up. This is war. Oh. We have another EU nut job, high-level government official. This is their plan. We're going to back Ukraine so they win the war. So you're already the Lulu, because that's not happening. And then we're going to break Russia back up into small countries. So, like, can we point to a place where Europe was involved in redrawing boundaries that didn't cause a freaking century or more of clusterfuck problems? Have these women that run the EU now, because it's all women running the EU apparently. Well, you got Stammer over there running England. He's a woman too. I'm sorry, right? If any dude is a woman, it's that piece of crap. They didn't read a single history book. Most of the problems we have is from European winners redrawing maps. In Europe and the Middle East and in Asia. Good job, guys. Good job. And, of course, you got a lot of help from Uncle Sam. I'm not passing the buck. We don't need to be doing that shit either, but we're not the ones talking about doing it right now, are we? It's you idiots. And can you think of a massive global conflict in the last 200 years that didn't start in Europe? Me either, man. Can't do it. How about this? Now, I ain't saying there ain't no wars. I'm talking about massive global conflicts that didn't involve Europe. Doesn't exist, right? All right. Oh, also, a retard got dropped on her ass. A lady running, who's like an ex-stripper or some shit, that's running for some congressional seat in Illinois, decided she's going to go show ICE's boss. So she planted her ass in front of one of ICE's vehicles. So one of the ICE guys, like, pushed it aside, just dropped her on her ass. Of course, the left says, the fascist guy from ICE body slammed a 100-pound woman. Shut up. The bitch got you what she deserved, and we're all going to get to look at her fall on her ass today. We're all going to get to do that. If you're listening to the audio, you'll have to come find the video, and I'm going to show you a really clever meme somebody made with the FAFO graph and the angle of her body on the way to her ass. Do you know what I have to say about her? I don't give a shit. But Jack, they threw her on the ground. The guy dropped her. She was pushing. You'll see it. He kind of shoulder checks her and just pushes her to the side. Here's the deal, though. If it's a government vehicle or anybody's vehicle, and they're trying to move their vehicle down the road, and you stick your ass in front of it, let me tell you what I don't give about you getting hurt. A fuck. A single fuck. In fact, I don't give the square root of fuck all what happens to you the minute you are stupid enough to block a vehicle. The fact that you basically got gently shoved to the side and dropped on your ass, call that a win, because I would drive over your fucking ass right now. Because if you're impeding me, I assume that you want to pull me out of my vehicle and kill me, and therefore I need to defend myself with the giant weapon at my disposal. So cry me a river, bitch. But I'm also going to tell you that she's very shrewd. She may actually become like one of the next AOCs or some shit like that. I'm telling you. Because, like you, she read Rules for Radicals. And even if she's applying it poorly, she's applying it. Next, we're going to talk about body armor because the stupid shit's still going on. The conspiracies are everywhere about Charlie Kirk. There was more than one shooter, even though everybody heard one shot. It was really the space laser Jew penguins or whatever. But the one that's still persisting he got shot in the vest, and it went up, and it hit his neck, and that's what really did it. And what would they gain by lying about that? I don't know, but man, they lie about everything. So you know it was Israel. Okay. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do last week. Back here, I have a vest. Actually, I have body armor because it's not a vest when you get into this range of things. And the plates that go in it to show you what that man would have had to be wearing to have something that would be a ballistic vest that would turn a 30 cal round out of a 30-06. I'm going to show you what it looks like. And then you're going to realize how stupid that claim was. And therefore, anybody with a new ballistics claim, okay? Yeah, the same person that started with that one, you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a moron that doesn't know anything. You want me to tell you how you know somebody doesn't know anything about terminal ballistics? It's like, because there's ballistics. That's from the time you fire the round and it exits the barrel, how the round transverses through the air. This is incredibly predictable, right? Now, you doesn't mean you can't miss, but if the rifle is rock solid, aimed at a specific angle, at a specific point, you can almost predict to the foot where that round will hit the ground. Consistently. If it's a well-loaded round with the right amount of powder and it's consistent round to round to round, that's how we shoot those little groups. If you start telling me you know what's going to happen, precisely what's going to happen, when a bullet hits flesh and bone of a living thing, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. I have seen shit happen with flesh and bone, animals, not people, but it's a good analog, that I to this day, I'm going to tell you the story of one of them. To this day, I cannot explain to you exactly. I can tell you what I think happened. But even with what I think happened happening, it still doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. It involves about a 200-pound deer and a 7mm Remington Magnum with a 165-grain round. This is a round that'll punch right through an elk. Wait till I tell you what happened when I shot this deer with it. So I'm not saying that I can tell you what would happen to a bullet when it hits flesh and bone. I'm saying anybody that can tell you is full of shit. And the more experience you have, the more you'll know that you can't directly predict what's going to happen. Here's what you can do. You can estimate probabilities. That's why we know like where to pick your shot on different angles on different game. Right? Or in the military on human beings. But we never know. And I'm going to tell you a story from a guy who I trust like a brother. I will not give you his name, who was in the first Gulf War, where, believe it or not, we did not kill everybody just with airplanes and tanks. We did actually shoot people, of someone that his unit found who'd been shot in the ass, literally right ass cheek. Wait till I tell you where the exit hole was and how much body was transferred by a 5.56 round. And then we can take all these people telling you all these things about what they know about what a bullet will do and won't do when it hits a human body and tell them to go get fucked because they don't know anything. Not because I know better, because you can't know. And again, wait till you see what body armor looks like that'll stop a 30 cal round. That's, yeah. And then we're going to end with a dark message. I hate it. I wanted to end with a happy message today. I'm growing the Santa beard. I even had the Santa cap out, but not today. There's too much dark in this episode to go full Santa for you. But maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll be doing something happy tomorrow. I can be Santa Jack. When people see no justice, you get dark justice. We're going to talk about that when we end today, too. Tuger says, bullets do weird things once they start hitting things. They absolutely do. Tuger knows. Be like Tuger, which means if that's true, then you can't know what it would never do this. Then you don't know anything. Then you don't know anything. I'm sorry. All right. Now, with that said, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is KnifeKits.com. One of the longest running sponsors of the show. Exactly who came first, I think, was Safe Castle Royal. And then Knife Kits was number two. So they're the longest running sponsor we have. I can tell you that they became a sponsor in February of 2009. Some of you were barely born. Some of you weren't done crapping your pants when these people became sponsors of this show. And they're still here and they're still supporting us to this day. So give them some business. Making a knife is a great hobby. It can become a side hustle. It can become a business.
I've always said, though, what it makes a lot of sense to do is, you know, get a kit, build a knife with your son or your daughter or your granddaughter or your grandson or your niece or your nephew. I know if I had a knife that I built with, like, an uncle or a great uncle or a grandfather or my dad, to me, I wouldn't care if it was perfect. It would be priceless. There'd be no price that could be put on it. So create something priceless with your kids and develop your skills at the same time. Next up today is Anton's Land of Biltong, which I just closed his webpage. So we're going to go without the webpage today. I clicked the wrong spot on the screen. So sorry about that, Anton. But Anton's Land of Biltong, you can find them at biltongusa.com, man. They make the real deal. I guess I started talking about Biltong on the air probably all the way back in 08, 09 at the latest. I learned about Biltong from Peter Hathaway Capstick, one of my favorite authors on hunting big game in Africa. And as soon as I read it, it was like the last chapter in a book. I think it was Death in the Long Grass. It was one that was like a conglomeration of all the individual little columns he had written for Sports Afield. And he wrote this last chapter of this book about making Biltong and said how easy it was to do and you could do it in an air-conditioned house. You didn't need to do it outdoors like they did. I made some of it, and I became hooked immediately. I really hardly ever make jerky. I make Biltong all the time. But now I hardly make Biltong because a box of Biltong shows up every 2 weeks to my house. I have a barter deal with Anton. That's how much I love his product. So check him out today at BiltongUSA.com. Check some of his other stuff out. He's got smoked black pepper that is the bomb. I don't know where he gets it from. Anyway, let's start digging into this now. I want to start off with the whole very moving ceremony yesterday. I don't know how many of y'all watched it. I honestly probably would have watched some highlights, but this is very important to my wife. She's much more political than I am, for those who think I'm political. And she watched the whole thing. So I watched it with her while working on my next book. And I was very moved when I heard Erica Kirk speak. And when she said, "And I forgive him," meaning the piece of crap who shot her husband, you could tell that she was conflicted in saying it, but God bless that woman for having the heart and the soul and the spirit to say it in front of so many people. It took everything in her, even if she had already actually done that internally, to verbalize it and put it out in public. And she's a better person than me. But as I and a friend of mine named David often tell our wives, you're better people than we are, but the world you live in exists because of people like us doing the things that we're willing to do that other people are not. You take that as you will. And I am not required to forgive this guy. But what I want to explain is that my anger and rage is not at this person. I hate this person as a person. I do. I also, in some small way, to be clear, very small, in some way see him as a victim. Because I realize it could be anybody that this happened to. No, my problem, I have a much bigger problem, honestly, with the thousands of people celebrating this man's death than the guy that actually pulled the trigger. I don't know what mental damage this man had done to him, this young man, by both the indoctrination, and we have no idea. I'm going to just bet this kid was taking psychotropic drugs, right, and not street drugs. Doctor-prescribed drugs. I just bet this kid was on, like, SSRIs or some sort of fucking shit. And so my problem is more with the people after the fact, with time to think, being, like, singing songs and chanting and, you know, destroying memorials and saying he had the whole system. And my anger has very little to do individually with this particular occurrence. This goes back a long time. I personally feel if the people of this country, in the middle of the whole COVID thing, had gone full 1776 fucking revolution then, it was justified 5 years ago, and somehow we all reined it in, bit our tongues, dealt with the shit, and thought, we'll get our country back eventually. This will end eventually. When they started telling us that we were bigots for not letting adults talk to five-year-olds about sex in school, at that point we would have been justified full 1776. Okay?
And there's 100 more examples I can give going back 20 years. So don't act if you're on the left. Don't act as if, well, it's all because of this. They can't handle this. They're supposed to be for free speech. You just do something. No, no, no. This is grievance after grievance after grievance after grievance after grievance after grievance. This is you get no fucking quarter. And it ain't the kind you spend in a coin form that we're talking about here. This is it. I am done. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to negotiate with you. We now are in a position where until they are crushed, there's no negotiations or discussions. Whether this is war or not, you got to treat it like war. And what I mean by that is when two countries go straight up head-to-head war, you don't go to the negotiating table once that war starts until one side is dead on its ass and wants to capitulate, and the other side is like, we could keep pushing, but it would be better for everybody if we found peace now. We ain't there. We ain't even close to there. The first actual shot hasn't been fired. We've had our, you know, shot heard around the world, but the actual shots, none have been fired yet. Whether they're ever fired from a rifle or not. And I prefer not. But either way, it's a wartime footing. It's a wartime mentality. And no, I don't forgive you. I don't forgive the people who said that we should not be able to go to the fucking grocery store because we refused to get an experimental vaccine that didn't fucking work. And we all know it didn't work now, and everybody still pretends, well, it kind of sort of did for a while. No, it didn't. They lied about it. We knew they were lying. We told you they were lying when they're lying, and you told us to shut up. I don't want to hear about censorship from the fucking people who shut down in a contrived manner, a coordinated manner across all social media, the president of the United States from speaking, whether you like him or not. I don't need a lecture from you. I don't want one, and I'm not interested in it. I don't forgive you, right? I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about what you want. I don't give a shit what you want. I don't care. Somebody cared. Somebody cared enough that what they decided to do was go out to talk to people peacefully and respectfully. And they built an entire organization on it, and that organization is still working. Of course, that's Turning Point USA. That's wonderful. You know what? When it comes to the people on the other side, I don't care, because Charlie Kirk was the olive branch and you set it on fire. So that's enough of that. We'll move on from here. Okay. We'll move on from here. But no, I don't want, and this is going to be a recurring thing. It's going to come back today. I don't want to hear, but if we do this, then they'll do that. They already did. Anything you say, anybody that's on the right, libertarian, anarchist, whatever, whenever you say something fucking stupid to me anymore, like, but if we don't speak out for Jimmy Kimmel, then he will speak out for us. Nobody, because nobody did, you thick-skulled, small-brained morons. Okay? Show me where any of these fucking people, one time, show me one time where anybody on the left ever spoke up for anybody on the right over free speech when it was actually a free speech issue. Show me one and maybe I'll care, but I probably won't, because one is not enough. Because I can show you 100,000 times the opposite. No more, zero, T-down. Those days are over. Gee, Jack, you've changed. Bitch, I told you. I said it right from the beginning. The day after it happened, I told you this. I didn't hide it. I haven't concealed it. And if you think it's a publicity stunt or he's just ranting for ratings, you don't understand, and you didn't understand for the last 17 years where I am at with this. I have always said that you could push so far, and there's a point where there is no more. And that has come. To quote the Bible, if it will make you happy, to hither thou shalt come and no further. Not one fucking millimeter of give anymore for these people at all. They have done enough damage. They have destroyed enough lives. They have ruined enough things. They have destroyed the lives of young girls. They have destroyed the minds of young men and women. They have warped society to their twisted view. And they don't even know what they're doing when they're doing it, because they're a bunch of useful fucking idiots. But no more forgiveness for being an idiot. You don't have to be an idiot today. You can learn if you choose to. The end. Moving on. Please read Rules for Radicals, and everything I just said that you didn't understand will make sense. Please do it for me. Please do it for yourself. There is this belief that Rules for Radicals was written for Democrats. I want to give you one lesson in the book and then apply it to the book itself. One of the things Alinsky says in the book is that you have to judge an historical figure or an historical action or a historical event in the context of the time. In other words, this shit like, but all the founders were slave owners. First of all, isn't true. And second of all, in the 1600s and 1700s, there was slavery everywhere almost in the world. And it might, it doesn't mean it was okay. It doesn't mean it wasn't wrong, but you have to judge the actions at the time for the time that they're in. Okay? So when you look at Alinsky's past, and he worked with a lot of people that today we would call the left, the downtrodden, the poor, oppressed black Americans, okay, fighting for things like the right for black people to have equality in the country, and a lot of anti-war people as well who were opposed to the Vietnam War. The book was published in 71, I think it's 70 or 71. Alinsky's professional career goes all the way back to the 30s. When he published that book, he had just come through the 60s. And what I would tell you about the left in the 60s, economic idiocy as always. However, socially, they were on the side of right. No, we shouldn't have been in Vietnam. They were right. No, we should not have had laws segregating society. Forced integration was stupid and wrong, but we should never have had laws that said you are a lesser citizen because of the color of your skin. No, it is not a good thing that we economically shifted to a point where women have to work, but if women wanted to work, they should have been able to. You see how it all works? And I said that this is not new from me, by the way. I've said this many times. One of the problems the modern left has is they were for so many decades the crusader for causes and sometimes lunatics, but in many cases the overriding macro of what they were trying to do made sense. Stop war, equal rights, etc. So now they're completely warped because they were built to go on quests, and their quests are done. Okay? So when you look at Rules for Radicals and you say, but Alinsky worked with the left and the left uses his playbook, et cetera, you have to, again, think about the fact the book was published in 1971 and what was going on in 1971. And if you're old like me and you remember even the early 80s, there was a lot of open racism in society. I mean, full on open racism. No, there wasn't a sign that says black's not welcome here. But there's more than one way to create that division. And when people feel unsafe, that goes a long way. I could tell you that I won't, but I could tell you some stories from my childhood of things that I heard people say right out in public and not a single person blinked. That today, no one would have you for saying it. And we're only going back, what, 30, 35 years? And so things have changed. But you can't judge the method, the operation, and the group of 1960s based on 2025. That's the same mistake that you hate seeing the left make when they talk shit about the people that founded this country and say they were uneducated and ignorant. When most of these people, like AOC, well, she has a degree in economics from Columbia. She couldn't explain the economics of how a fucking lemonade stand works, right? Those guys knew what they were doing. They gave us something pretty great. There's a lot of flaws there, but you got to judge the flaws of the time. So please read the book. Next up, let's talk about Trump's H-1B visa. So this came out yesterday, I think. It was either yesterday or Saturday. But there's going to be a new H-1B visa program. And what it's going to do is require that if you want to bring in somebody on H-1B, everybody's saying India. And India is the largest user, but they're not the only user by a long shot. When I used to work with Neil Franklin, I've mentioned that a lot over the years, and one of our companies is called Data Workforce, we use the H-1B visa program all the time, and we got most of our technicians out of Croatia and Greece. Not all, but most. And we didn't just bring them to America. We sent them all over the world, but we brought a lot of them into America. And we actually used the program as it's marketed. So at that time, this is what I'm just saying. I've got some experience with H-1Bs, right? So we had guys coming into work for mostly telco carriers and cellular telco carriers on legacy technology. And it actually paid very well. The reason we couldn't find American workers to do the job was not about the money. I know that's shocking. Not about the, but understand, things were good in the space at the time, right? Judge it at the time. Nobody in that space that was really good wanted to work on legacy tech because it was dying. So it didn't advance their career. But the guy from Greece is like, I need a fucking job. I'll do it. So that's how we used it. And because we used it that way, I always thought most people did as well. I'm sure it was abused. You can go all the way back to, like, remember Office Space 1999, right? Samir and Michael being replaced by outsourcing. It's ironic that Samir, whatever, you know. So that's, you know, 25 years, 26 years ago. So it's not new. But that's what I always thought. I always thought that it was going to be mostly used the way as intended, even if that was wrong, you know. But a couple months ago when a lot of this shit started ginning up again, I was like, but what's really going on? So I found this website, and I'm sure I could look it up and add it to the show notes. I don't have it in there right now. If I remember, I'll do it. But it was only a couple months ago where I found a website where you can search for postings for jobs using H-1B visas. And, you know, there were jobs on there like college recruiter for $35,000 a year. And they filled it. They filled the job. For a college. And they, of course, you're supposed to be saying when you get H-1B is, we cannot find an American to do this job. That's what you're saying simply by applying for it. It's not, we want to save money. We cannot fill the position without this program. That's the whole purpose of the program. And you got people like Neil Tyson coming out telling you, it's the genius visa. No, it's not. You don't need a genius to, like, run the database or the email programs or whatever for a college for $35,000 a year. You don't. And there were tons of jobs on that job board that weren't even technical, and they were being filled under H-1B. So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And one thing you have to understand about many of these countries, like India, like Pakistan, those people never come alone. Once they find a toehold and a way in, the whole network gets alerted, and they bring in dozens of them together at a time. And they're like locusts. They will completely take over a company. That is so racist and so xenophobic. Shut the fuck up. Those days are over. I don't care about your bullshit. Okay? I'm telling you what happens. So Trump has this new program. Oh, you want to bring him in? That's fine. It's $100,000. Okay, here's the problem. Lutnick does the announcement while Trump sits at his desk signing his bullshit. And he says like four times, it's annual. It's annual. It's annual. So the right goes, woohoo, you got to pay $100,000 a year just to have them here. Plus, you got to pay them. Turns out it's not annual. It isn't. I'm just going to put up a quick comment in the feed here because the feed is all jacked up from an appearance standpoint. So I'm having trouble reading. So hopefully I'll straighten it out. Anyway, you know, everybody was happy because it's annual. Turns out it's not annual. So Kayleigh McEnany, Trump's press secretary, comes out and says it's not annual. It's when you apply. It doesn't affect anybody that already has an H-1B. If you already have an H-1B that's active and you went home to visit, you can come back in on your existing visa. It doesn't affect anybody that's already hired. Okay? So there's your 1964 quarters. Like, they're going to hold on to those people as long as they can. And the reason I know this is because I did something most people won't, and that is I went to read the actual source document. So, presidential actions, restriction on entry of certain non-immigrant workers, proclamations, September the 19th to 2025. And right here's the whole thing. I'm not going to read it to you and bore you. It's legalese, blah, blah, blah. But it's very clear if you read this what's going on. There's a link in the show notes. If you doubt anything I say and you don't want to read all of that text, then all you got to do is go by AI, drop the text in and say, explain this to me, right? Give me the highlights. And if you do that, you'll find out that what's annual is the plan itself. Lutnick is an idiot. He either misspoke in the way that he characterized it or he didn't understand it, which means he shouldn't have been talking about it. What I mean by that is it's a one-year program. In other words, on September the 19th, 2026, unless it's reissued, it will go away. Now the right's even more upset. Why would Trump do that? It's only 1 year. They'll just wait it out. Because you can't wait it out in the space. Because you can't. Because if you need to hire somebody, you need to hire somebody. And every time they lose somebody now, they're going to have to replace them. And everyone that, because H-1B lasts 6 years. So every year, about 1/6 of the H-1B workforce, and it's not really true because they have so increased it in the last 4 years that it's no longer 1/6. Call it 1/7, 1/8 of the entire workforce ages out and the visa has to be renewed. If it has to be renewed during this period, it's going to cost you $100,000. So Trump's like, if you want, right, and this isn't pro-Trump, this is just what's going on. This is like, if you want to bring in workers who, I need to get rid of somebody. Hold on a second, guys. I'm not sure how to get rid of this person. Anyway, we'll just keep going on from here. I don't know what's going on with my live chat feed today, but I'm only seeing people from Rumble, and I don't want to shut Rumble off. I don't know what's going on here. It's a very weird thing. Anyway, so I won't be good on the chat with you guys today. I'm just going to have to ignore it. It's probably better anyway, because I know I've got special people out there. The H-1B thing, again, it's going to age out, and it's going to then have to be refilled, and either you're going to hire an American or you're going to pay $100,000 to bring somebody in. I'm telling you right now, when this was announced, if Howard Lutnick said, this is a one-year program to get it off the ground, we're going to charge $100,000 per person coming into the country, everybody would have loved it. But because it was over-promised and under-delivered because the messenger's a retard, now they're all mad and it's no good and doesn't do any good at all. This just shows you how important it is to clearly communicate what you're saying. Because that was a botched communication and nothing more. It was, and of course, immediately all the conspiracy tards, Netanyahu called him and told him not to do it. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure. What evidence do you have for that? Everybody knows. That's not evidence. That's not evidence at all. What evidence is the actual document published by WhiteHouse.gov on the day that it actually happened, which was several days ago. And it says very clearly that it's a one-year program and it only applies to the time that the visas apply for. So is this good or bad? I don't know. I don't think it's going to fix the world, but I definitely think it will allow more American workers to compete for jobs and not just high-level tech jobs. And please, if nothing else, understand H-1B visa is often used to bring people into this country whose job has no real technical component at all beyond what most jobs have that are office jobs. So like using email does not make your job highly technical. Doing research on the internet does not make your job highly technical. Typing up a Word fucking document does not make your job highly technical. We don't need those people to do this. It's done for two reasons. It's cheaper and universities do it because they like it. Universities love this diversity bullshit, right? How about giving the student who's busting their ass, who wants a part-time job, the freaking job, instead of bringing somebody in on an H-1B. No. We can't do that. We got to have diversity. Too much opportunity for cis white males. Can't have that. That's what's going on. This at least does something about it. Moving on. This is one of those things that you either realize what it's saying or it feels like a bad B-movie or something that you'd watch the movie and go, no, but nobody would ever do this. Ukraine is so desperate now that they're literally allowing citizens over 60 to join the military. That's what the headline is. But if you actually read deeper into it, that also makes them subject to conscription. In other words, the draft. So it's one thing to say if you're over 60 and you want to join the Ukrainian army and go fight Russia, you can. But the minute you become eligible for service in Ukraine right now, you become eligible for conscription. So what they're doing is they are drafting men in their 60s right now to fight Russia. Now, again, if somebody made a movie about a war, a fictitious war, and it ended up to the point where this one side was higher, like putting men that were 60 years old out on the battlefield. It would either be like a comedy in the vein of Stripes, right? Or it would just be, it would be not taken seriously. Like, nobody would do this, but they're doing it. Ukraine, as I've said, is running out of men. You can give them weapons and you can give them money, but they're running out of people. And they're also at a state where no matter what the TV tells you, no matter what your news source tells you, a shitload of these men, once they're out there, are going to heading right to the Russian troops with their hands up. If they haven't been sufficiently terrified into believing they'll immediately be killed, they're doing that. Okay? And then a lot of them are just kind of like, just going off and doing things that are non-military things. All the young men of fighting age who hadn't been conscripted are either from rich families that are buying their privilege, or they've run away. They're running out of people. You know, I know they told you Russia was literally running out of bullets and repairing their airplanes, tanks, and missiles with washing machine parts 2.5 years ago. Turned out that wasn't true, just like I said it wasn't. This has to end. Putin has another peace deal on the table. I think one of the things, this is not about what I want either, too, because whenever I talk about it, but do you even want Ukraine to win? There's an old saying from the 80s and the 70s. Give me like a high five hand up in the live chat if you ever heard this, if you know how to do it, right? Just high five, right? If you ever heard this from like an uncle or a dad or a granddad or something, shit in one hand and hope in the other and see which one fills up first. Okay, so what you want is irrelevant to what is. Oh, a lot of shit I want that ain't going to happen. I want to be left alone. This whole rant I've had today so far, if you would leave us alone, you wouldn't have people like me on the verge of 1776 in your ass. Okay? All they had to do was leave. They can't. They can't do it. They have to fuck with everybody. Right? So I want to be left alone. That's like it. So what I want for Ukraine is for it not to be run by an actor who is a WEF installed puppet. That would be step one, right? And for it not to become the next Nazi Germany, which it has very high potential to do if Germany doesn't become the next Nazi Germany with some of the shit that's going on there now, right? This is all a recipe for disaster. But in the end, I know this. A nation like Russia doesn't go to war, take over 30% of a country, offer to give like two-thirds of that back, and then give another inch. They don't. And Zelensky's here still talking about taking Crimea back. Like, you didn't say a word about Crimea before this started. Everybody already knew that was done. This is like stupidity to the nth level for the purpose of eradicating the lives of human beings. I really think when this is over, BlackRock et al. Is going to rebuild what's left of Ukraine, and they're going to take a shitload of the mistakes they made in Europe. We call them North African immigrants and ship them to Ukraine. You watch and see if that shit doesn't happen. Okay, let's move on and talk about another person that we can all agree is a piece of crap, Hillary Clinton. You don't agree that she's a piece of crap? Get out of my freaking feet. I don't care. Go away. Go somewhere else. We're going to be saying all kinds of nasty things about Hillary here. Actually, we're not going to say that much nasty. We're just going to put some irony. This is one of the most ironically hypocritical posts that I've ever seen. It is so ironically hypocritical and so tone deaf to reality that it's hard for me to think of anybody but Hillary Clinton who would have done this. If you would have read me the tweet and then told me, or the post, whatever you call it now, since this is not Twitter, and then told, guess which prominent political figure made this, I would have guessed Hillary Clinton immediately. Let me read it. Of course, this has to do with Jimmy Kimmel, right? Here we go. In America, we defend free speech in terrible times. We defend free speech even when it's offensive. We defend free speech. Nice story, Hillary. Okay. Hillary, who cheered on, like, we don't have to go there. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to talk about how behind it she was when they colluded to like shut down the ability of the president of the United States to communicate on social media. Anybody that does that, I don't care how much I don't care if it was Barack Obama or Joe Biden. I would have never cheered that on until now, because now I don't give a shit what happens to you, okay? But I would have never cheered that on. She did, right? Let's look down here. Who can reply? Accounts Hillary Clinton follows or mentions can reply. She locked the comments. She made that post. In America, we defend free speech in terrible times. We defend free speech even when it's offensive. We defend free speech. You may not comment on my post. Now, you know why she did that. And somebody will say, like a little child.
She's a private citizen now. It's her own account. She has every right to lock it.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a free speech issue. It's a hypocrisy issue. Nothing screams hypocrite like a retarded moron that makes a post like that, who, when she lost the presidential election, her entire thesis for the next 3 years was, it's everybody's fault but mine. To make that post, leveraging her name as the wife of a former president, i.e. being a first lady, a former senator, a former cabinet member, and a Democratic nominee for president of the United States. Leverage all that, make that post, and lock down comments. If you'll defend that, I'm being dead serious here. I'm not going to yell or scream or do anything that will make you think that maybe he's being theatrical. Just a second. Look, if you'll defend that action, I want you to close what you're listening to with me on it right now. I want you to go the fuck away, and I don't want you to ever come back. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear your opinion. Your opinion is not valid. There's no defense of that. I have made many, many posts, including many very – I have never once locked comments down. But, Jack, you've thrown people out of forums and blogs and groups. Yes, and we also have what's called terms of service, and we say this is the rules if you're going to play here. And we always tell people, hey, you're outside the boundary of the rules. Knock it off. Then we go, okay, now you're going to get basically a timeout. And then we're like, you know what? Clearly you're not understanding this. And when they tell us, well, I'll tell you what the rules are, they're gone. You know what we're not going to do ever again, though? That if you're one of my moderators, yeah, and it's a flagrant violation, just immediate. I'm teed out, bitches, teed out. Quit pleading your case, teed out. Those days are over. It's done. It's done. Jake says it sounds like Jack is still coughing up stuff. I'm really not. I just have something, and I'm out of coffee. Like when you have that little tickle in the back of your throat. Anyway, so that's bullshit. Now, I want to say something about Jimmy Kimmel, though, and just explain maybe a little bit more fully what actually happened, right? Because I don't think people are aware of this. So, what's his name? I always forget his last name's Eisner, right? The guy that runs Disney, right? You don't have a higher authority at Disney than him, right? He's the guy that Elon Musk said to go fuck yourself to, right? So Elon Musk can do that shit because he owns a bunch of his own companies, and Eisner is the CEO of Disney, right? So for those of you that don't know, Disney actually is the network that Kimmel's really on because it's CBS or NBC or whatever, but it's owned by Disney now. And when this all happened, no, it's not Iker. It's Bob. No. I got to look it up now because you guys are all wrong. CEO of Disney. I always get his name wrong. Bob Iger. Iger. I-G-E-R. Bob Iger. So somebody had it close. Iker. Yeah, there you go. Bob Iger. Bob Iger. Anyway, so Iger gets like this shitstorm of responses from all these local affiliates who were overwhelmed with people calling in going, this guy's lying. It's not just that what he said is despicable. He was lying. This is over the weekend, right, after this happened. This is where we knew what happened. And Kimmel goes on and insinuates it's Iger. It's not Eisner. It's Iger. Anyway, I know now because I looked it up again. Anyway, like he insinuates that the shooter was a right-wing MAGA supporter, which was the lie that they originally started. He was running with that. as an informational show on television. And but the FCC said, you know what the FCC's job is? If you read their charter and the laws that they follow and the codes that they follow, preventing intentional disinformation. I hate using that term because the left used it for everything blanket, but not preventing disinformation on Twitter or Facebook on public airways. It's literally what they're supposed to do. And it's one thing to get something wrong, and it's another thing to knowingly say something that's not true, even with that. Even with that. So the FCC makes a comment. Who gives a fuck? The government says shit all the time they don't do anything about. And these companies have never had a time pushing, hard time pushing back. They always push back when they want to, and they never push back when it's convenient for them not to. Like when you have a late night host that has a little bit of his contract left that you're not going to renew because they already were not going to renew him. You've already seen other late night hosts gotten rid of that had nothing to do with what they said. It's their ratings. Late night is dying. In a world where you can see whatever you want, whenever you want, nobody wants to stay up till fucking midnight to listen to a comedian talk about the news. Right? So they want to get rid of him anyway. Even with that, Iger goes to him and says, look, man, go back on air, apologize for the tone, and correct the inaccuracy. And what did Kimmel say? I'm not doing that. Okay, let me explain something to you if you've never actually run a fucking company before how this works. If it's my company, if my name's on the fucking door, Jack Spirico, CEO, and I go to one of my, I don't care what kind of rock star employee you are, and I say, look, man, we've got some heat because of what you did. If you were like a low-level peon, I would just get rid of you because that's the conversation, right? Like, because you are who you are and because you've been with us so long, I feel we owe it to you to give you an opportunity here. I need you to make a public apology and correction, and I need you to do it now. And you say anything but yes, sir, you're fired. With cause, as per your contract, goodbye. I don't care if your job is putting nuts and bolts together, putting boxes on shelves, etc. When the owner of your company makes anything approaching a reasonable request after you fucked up and you say no, you can say, sir, with all due respect, I'm going to decline to do that. What that person, right, because I've been that person, hears is, you know what, you can get fucked. And the response is, well, you can get fucked right out the door. Bye. You're done. We're not going to have this anymore. That's what happened. Right. John Duke says Jimmy Kimmel was drawing about 129,000 viewers. He had a late night show. My podcast, when I put out an episode over a 48-hour period, we get between 150 and 200,000 downloads of the audio version. We hit more people than a late night network television show as a podcaster with a flag in the background. I'm not bragging, okay? I'm not bragging about my numbers. My numbers for modern podcasting are actually pretty low for big, you know, for big shows. I'm not a big, I used to be like the big dog, right? I haven't grown much, I haven't shrunk much, but what is a big dog in podcasting is you know, a million plus now. Adam Curry has like two million. Joe Rogan has like 11 or 12 million per episode. Those are the big dogs. So I'm a little dog. But you don't get to keep that level of production, studio production, giant stars coming on, all the money it costs to run that with 129,000 views a night. You don't. And again, I'm not one of these people like Trump's like, yeah, he sucks. He's not very talented, whatever. I don't know. I never watched the guy. He had to be talented enough to get to where he was, though, for F's sake. Right? He could be a sleazeball. He could still be talented as an entertainer. Lots of talented entertainers are all also sleazeballs. The niche he's in is dead. It's all, if all the people complaining about it divided by two watched his show, he would have been able to make nice and he would have been able to get through this. He was only terminated because he was already going to go anyway. So I don't care if the FCC guy said it could be done the easy way or the hard way. I don't care. And I don't care when you tell me, but if we don't speak up for him, who's going to speak up for him? Who the fuck ever spoke up for us? You know what? I'll give you the Bible again, even though I'm using a lot of F-bombs today, right? When I was a child, I played with childish things. But now as a man, put childish things away. this bullshit, that there's any sort of reciprocity with these ass clowns is nonsense. And you need to grow the F up, be big little boys and girls, pull your panties all the way up, right? Put your pants on and be an adult. Be an adult in the room with other adults and understand you're dealing, like, this is the thing. If I'm in a restaurant and somebody comes in and starts lipping off one of the servers, at first I won't do much. Give it a chance to work itself out. If I start to see a guy like get in the face of a small woman or something, bro, you're going to need to leave now. And I'm going to be very polite about how he's going to be asked to leave. If he pushes his shit much further, he's going to get his arm locked up his own asshole. And he's going through the door on the way out. Like, the door will open with his face as I put him onto the ground outside. Okay? But there's a series of escalations. Yeah? Okay. If I'm in a restaurant and a guy comes in with a gun and starts shooting or threatening to shoot people, I'm taking cover and I'm putting one right in his freaking melon and two in his fucking throat and one in his stomach to be sure that I got him on the way down. And he might get one while he's laying there on his face just to be sure because he tried to kill somebody. Guess what stage of the story we're in now? We're in the active shooter stage of this. There's no negotiations. There's no de-escalation. There is none anymore. You did it. You pushed it. You've pushed it for at least the last 20 years heavily. We are done. Goodbye. But I just think that I don't give a fuck what you think. That's not what Charlie would have wanted. I don't care. If you cared what Charlie wanted, you should have listened to him while he was talking. You shouldn't have killed him. And then you should have celebrated his death. And then you should have attacked his widow. And then you should have changed his words and twisted them. You should have called him a Nazi, a Christian Nazi. Right? Whatever the fuck that is. You shouldn't have done that shit. You've already opened fire multiple times. No more negotiations. If I'm not clear, rewind the last 2 minutes and listen to it again. Maybe I'll become clear. All right. But yeah, when you tell your boss to get fucked, you get fired. That's what actually happened to Kimmel. It has nothing to do with free speech. And by the way, I didn't know that Iger, Disney CEO Bob Iger, I didn't know he worked for the government because he's the one that fired him. Right? He's the one that fired him. I would even tell you, I'd be like, I got no sympathy for you. I got no sympathy for you. But if the FCC, like if Disney said, no, we're not going to do this, and the FCC came in and started pulling licenses from affiliates or something, okay, then I would say this is wrong, but I don't care. But this isn't even wrong, and I don't care. Moving on. So this bimbo, what is her deal? I can't remember who she is. Kaja Kallas, vice president of the EU, right? Second most important position in the EU, opening declaring the goal of the West should be to break Russia into smaller countries. What is wrong with these people? That's the post by Richard, whoever he is, on X. I'm going to play this for you real quick. Listen to this freaking pea-brained idiot. And here's my question for the EU. Why is this the person in charge of your freaking, your continent? I mean, seriously, could you not do better than this? Here we go.
Russia's defeat is not a bad thing because then, you know, there could be really a change in the society. And you know, there are many different nations right now, part of Russia as well. I think if you would have a more like small nations, it's not a bad thing if the big power is actually much smaller. So.
Okay, first of all, this woman sounds like a kid doing an oral book report who didn't actually read the book, because we know she hasn't read any history books, if she's saying this shit, but just her delivery alone, and I know English might not be her first language, but I know this woman, like, she chose to speak in English, so she must speak English fairly well, okay? Because I don't know if you know this, English is not the official language of the EU, as far as I know anyway. And so she chooses to speak in English, so I'm not going to give her a pass for that at all. She sounds like a kid who was supposed to do an oral report on a book and realized the day the report was due, she didn't read it, let alone get ready for the report. And her friend had a set of Cliff Notes, and in study hall right before the class, she read the Cliff Notes, and she's coming in and winging it, right? That's how that works. Jake Reed says the Soviet Union was dissolved in 91. Yeah, but she wants to go further than that. There's lots of other countries that are still part of Russia today, right, is what she's saying. Hey, if you want to talk about a country that's part of other countries, it's Ukraine. Part of it is really Hungarian. Part of it is Polish. Part of it is Russian. Right? But whatever. But this is just... I'm just assuming that this audience is educated enough to know what happens when European aristocrats, usually in conjunction with the United States, decide to start changing where lines are on maps. Not only is it a complete fucking catastrophe when they do it, 100 years later, you're still dealing with the consequences of it. All that shit that happened in the Balkans in the 90s goes back to this same shit. Most of the shit going on in the Middle East is we decided where boundaries would be. I'm telling you, even if like a lot of these smaller tribal entities in the Middle East, they may have even been eventually part of the nation we put them in, but if it had happened on its own, it would be different. If it happened on its own, it would be different. If the Kurds were annexed by Iraq instead of us just going, this is where Iraq is, right? Because we did, believe it or not. I know nobody told you that, right? After World War II, we did a lot of this shit. Stalin and Roosevelt and Churchill all got together, right? And we're going to divide everything up. This will be your piece of Europe, and this will be ours. And this will be, we'll cut Germany in half. And even though Berlin's in your side, we'll cut Berlin into four sections, but we'll take three of them and put them all in America. And then we'll put a wall. You guys will put a wall there. And it, jeez, come on. The last thing that anybody in any position of power right now should be doing is thinking about telling another nation where to redraw their boundaries. We have no business doing that. And yes, that includes Ukraine and Russia right now. Because my solution to this is dramatically simple. And I don't know why Trump won't do it. You're on your own. Figure it out. We'll fight to the last man. Sorry to hear that. I don't think you should, but bro, you're a grown ass country. You're sovereign. You have started a war with a much bigger country. Good luck. Bye. The war would be over in a month. And not because Putin would roll over all of Europe. Hey, Putin is on the edge of defeat, but if we don't defeat him, he's going to take over. This is so stupid. It's like Schrodinger's Putin. You got to stop this nonsense. That's my solution. Just in case you were wondering. When two nations fight, then we should stay out of the way. Especially that conflict, because that conflict is exactly over what happens when people arbitrarily redraw lines for political reasons. And in this case, you know who did that? We didn't do it. Russia did it. Russia did it. When the Soviet Union was formed, one of the things that Russia did as it created the Soviet Union by bringing these satellite republics under the USSR was they left them as provinces. Think of them like states. And think of it like if Texas had become part of the Union under similar circumstances, okay? And when that was done, let's say a third of Louisiana became Texas. So the United States would have at that time then backed Louisiana into Texas by a couple hundred miles. Why would you do this? Because even the Soviet Union recognize certain levels of sovereignty within its provinces. And what they wanted was Soviet loyalists, Russian loyalists inside the province. So they overlaid the map. They basically merged it back in so that that strip that they called the Donbass, that was always Russia until the Soviet Union made it part of Ukraine after they did what they did and created the Soviet Union. That's what happened. So all those people there, it's not that long ago, they're 95% of them are Russian, and they think of themselves as Russian, and it's causing the problem that we have today. It is the main reason for the problem. If Russia had never done that, if Russia left Ukraine as it was, as a territory, when they made it a province and didn't redraw the boundary, this probably would have never happened. And the people that are screaming, Putin is a thug, Putin is a killer, we need to back Ukraine to the last man, to the last dollar, they don't know any of that shit. I can respect your opinion if you're at least informed. And I won't judge whether you're informed or not based on your opinion alone, but how you defend your opinion. When your opinion is defended with nothing but talking points, I know you're not informed. I know you're not informed. And when I give you a fact that's true and provable and easily researched and you out of hand reject it, I know you're not interested in the truth. So anyway, let's move on. This is good. This is funny, in my opinion. There is a woman that calls herself Cat Aberrant or something like that. And she is running for office in Illinois. And she's a moron. And her fellow morons decided they were going to go show ICE who's boss. So this is an ICE facility that you're looking at on your screen right now. And I'm going to blow it up here so you can really see it good because it's fun. And that is a vehicle driven by ICE agents simply leaving their building and going out to do their job for the day. This moron right here with a COVID mask on, right? You notice that she's the only one with a mask on. And we'll get to masks and agents in a bit. She's the only one wearing a mask. You know why you wear a mask? Look, I know like some of the other Antifa people are wearing like the black hoodie mask and shit, but lots of them aren't. You know why you wear something no one else is wearing? So that you can tell the person with the camera, stay focused on this person. This was a setup. This is a setup. I don't think it quite went the way that she planned for it to go, but boy, she's maximizing and getting the best out of it. You're about to hear it if you're on the audio only. You'll have to look it up for yourself if you haven't seen it. But I'll explain it after I play it for everybody else that tuned into the video. Right on that ass, man. She went straight down on that ass, and I got no sympathy. I really like somebody did this. I got something else to show you, and we'll move on and we'll talk about it. This is my favorite thing to come out of it. I have to describe this for the audio-only audience. This is the famous FAFO graph, where you got FO on the vertical and FA on the horizontal, and if you fuck around at a 5, you found out at a 5. This is that she's going down, and she's at about a perfect 45-degree angle, and she's lining up with the indicator axis line going at 45 degrees off the bottom of the up and the vertical and the horizontal axis. So her body is now right there in the FAFO. Whoever did that, you are a legend. You are definitely one of the true meme lords of our time. Well done, sir. As another, you know, member of the meme army, I salute you for your choice to make that meme. Anyway, she's an idiot. And I had a bunch of people, especially on Facebook, that's where the lefty loons follow me. I don't know. I guess because I did so much work with permaculture, right? Can we just agree that she's an idiot, but they're also fascists? No, we can't agree with that. Why are they fascists? Because they have a job enforcing immigration law in our country and they're doing their job? No, I'm sorry. That doesn't make somebody a fascist. I have a very good definition of fascism. I think your whole country is fascist, by the way, including you, except you're just communist fascists. But fascism is an economic system of control that we've been under since, well, the 1920s, actually since 1913. So we can go. But what you're trying to say, no, I don't agree with you and I don't care. And it's those days are over and I'm not interested in your opinion and you can go fuck off. But here's my opinion on this, right? I don't care whose vehicle it is. If you put your body in the way of someone trying to legally operate a vehicle, I don't care if they drive over you like a tanker. I really don't. Now, do I want that to be standard operating procedure? I think it would solve the problem, but no, okay, I can be reasonable, sort of, right? But I don't care. I think that everybody out there, if you don't already haven't already done this, you need 2 or 3 of the biggest pepper spray cans you can get in your vehicle. And if you are somewhere where these people do this shit, paint them like a fucking fence, man. Paint them like a fence. Get back in your vehicle and wait. Or get that system we interviewed the guys from. We have a discount on it where it sprays. You don't have to get out of your vehicle. You can spray it out your roof, right? No more. No more. When this is bullshit. When people impede traffic, there's two concerns I have, and these are not justifying what I'm going to do in response to them. They are the justification. They're not justifying, okay? One is that when you impede traffic, somebody behind me could be trying to get somebody to a hospital or something like that, or could be a guy that if he doesn't get to check in with the court, he's going to lose custody of his kids, because I've heard of shit like this happening, right? So I'm not okay with that. Or you intend to harm people in the vehicle, and even if you don't, people with you might. Once I can no longer move my vehicle and there's a crowd outside of me, I have serious risk to my person. I've seen it happen. We've seen people drug out of their vehicles and beaten to death or near death. That ain't happening to me. You try to stop my vehicle, I'm going to move slowly at first, and if you start piling on, y'all are going for a fucking ride, okay? Let's see how long you can hold on. Let's see how you're going to do when I take that turn up there. Do you know how fast I can go around that turn without losing control with my Challenger? You're fixing to find out, bitch, and I don't think you can hang on. But if you can, let's see what happens when we test that little sensor in my Challenger. I have a sensor in my Challenger for 0 to 60, but I also have from 100 to 0. Yeah, how fast can you brake? It tells you how far you went. I think it's time for my personal best. So let's get it up to 100 and let's see how quick we can stop. Because you're coming the fuck off. And so the fact that this bitch whose credential is she's a candidate for Congress. So you're fucking nobody. Anybody can be a candidate. Right? Your credential of being like special and protected is you're a woman, which you can't explain what a woman is. You only weigh 100 pounds, but women can do everything men can do, so fuck off. And you're a candidate for Congress. You impeded a law enforcement vehicle on its duly appointed duties. You get thrown to the ground. I don't give a shit. But, oh, this is the thing. Don't think it's a win. Don't think it's a victory. Read Rules for Radicals. I'm going to say it again. She now has something that's talked about in Rules for Radicals that organizers need and want. Cred. Clout. If you read Rules for Radicals, Alinsky will eventually talk about some of the things that he did and what he was known for. And when he was attacked by the media, he was then invited into communities to organize that he would have never been able to come to and organize, even though he was the same person with the same philosophy. That when, for instance, the shit that went on in Rochester back in the day with race riots, when he went to Rochester, he didn't actually do anything except meet with certain churches that were on the side of the oppressed. That's all he did. And they said, we want you to go into the ghetto and work with these people and organize them and push back and help make their lives better. And he's like, I can't do that. You have no right to invite me into their community. It's their community. I'd love to help them. If you and his organization, they did this for money. They got paid to do it. And he said, I gave them a price. And I told them, but you have to figure out how to get me invited in. Well, while this is all going on, the press loses its fucking mind because the press was controlled at the time still by mostly the right. Only the educational institutions had been taken over by the left. So they write, like, you would have thought, like, the bubonic plague and the Russians were invading Rochester at the same time. All of a sudden, the very people that the progressive churches wanted him to help invited him in. It gave him credibility. There's nothing he could have done or said on his own that would have given him that invitation to be part of their community and work with them like the other side attacking him. And this is a recurring theme in the book that happens over and over again. And so you look and you go, oh, there it is. Now I understand. Like, this looks so stupid. Why would a person do this? For that reason. Because if the other side hates you, you must be one of us, one of us, one of us, especially on the left, because the left is into this big tent tribalism. Like, they will slaughter their own for stepping outside. But on the way in, if you're against Trump, one of us, It's a cult. That was expertly done. And I don't think that person has the mental bandwidth to have come up with it herself. The whole thing was staged. Her job was to get one of those guys to put their hands on her. The reason she's the only one in like a paper white mask in 2025, because I guarantee you're not going to find a picture of this woman anywhere except maybe during COVID when she had to, wearing a mask like that. This was to make sure that the camera stayed on her at all times to get this shot exactly right. And please read the book, because we are not even beginning to slow down with these tactics. Even if you don't want to use the tactics, which I think you're dumb, if you don't use the enemy's tactics against the enemy, that's fine. You better know what they're doing. You better, because I'm telling you right now, the minute you start reading this book, you'll be one chapter and you go, no, this wasn't written for Marxists. It was written for people that don't have power on how to get power, period, no matter who it was. Alinsky's philosophy is very clear when you read the book. He thinks of improving society like climbing a rope. This is not his analogy, it's mine, but it's the blueprint. That eventually one side does all it can for you, pulling you up, and then it goes stagnant, and it actually begins to become regressive, because now that it's in power, it does all the evil shit that it railed against. So therefore, the other hand must go above and then pull the body up, and then there has to be a back and forth. As I said on last week, it's very Jeffersonian. The tree of liberty must from time to time be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. If the guy that drafted the Declaration and had a huge impact on the Constitution thought that, then how can you possibly think that he thought what they gave us was enough in of itself? Our founders were aware of this process as well, that once people became powerful for long enough, power would tend to corrupt, and as they became absolutely powerful, absolute power would corrupt absolutely. That's why we have the system of checks and balances that we do. And still with that, Jefferson said, but from time to time, there must be friction, there must be a battle. It doesn't always have to be a shooting war. You really, 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 really need to read this book. I'm asking you for yourself to read this book. I also recommend that you read Illuminatus Trilogy by Robert Shea and Robert Anton Wilson, because you'll have a much better understanding. It's just, it's crazy, trippy, drug-fueled nonsense, but it's got every conspiracy theory and more that existed at the time that it was written played into it. But the biggest thing is all the organizations are actually controlled by one big organization, even though they think they're fighting each other, moving society in the way that new world order wants it to go. And when you read it, you're like, yeah, I know it's fiction, but man, these guys have some good ass to let them see some real shit. That's all I can say. Those two guys, when they wrote that book together. All right, moving on. California's got a new law. I have a prediction. And my prediction is that the federal government shall, in fact, literally wipe their ass with this new law. So Gavin Newsom signed a law that was passed by the California legislature. So, you know, it's not an EO. Good job, California. You followed the legislative process. Great. Good job. I'm glad you're remembering your 1980s public service cartoons with how a bill becomes a law. I'm glad, you know, like conjunction, junction, what's your function? And then you learned how a bill became a law. I'm glad you guys did that. So they legally passed a law. And the law says most law enforcement officers are now banned from wearing masks during operations. I love how it's most. In other words, the people we say could do it, but not the ones you say could do it to the federal government. Now the problem is that in their civics classes, these clowns in California didn't understand something called the Federal Supremacy Clause. And that is very simple. If a law or policy of the federal government is in conflict with a law or policy of a state government, and neither of those entities is prohibited by either the federal or the state level constitution from that action, that the federal law supersedes the state law. This is very simple. A first year law student could explain it to you. I'm not even one of them, and I can explain it to you. This is very well known. The precedent for it is a mile long. California knows there's no winning here, but you know what there is? There's winning by losing, and that's the plan. Read Rules for Radicals. They'll put this out, And then they'll say Donald Trump is a dictator with the court doing his bidding and he needs to be stopped or there'll never be an election again. I already know what they're going to tell you because they've said it before. This is the same play. They're running the same play again, except instead of cutting up the left side of the field, they're cutting off the right. That's it. They moved over, like, they shifted the line, they shifted the backs behind the quarterback, and they're running the same play like a mirror play. And the right will fall for it again, because in the words of Dark Helmet, and now you will see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb. Okay? I mean, literally, that's why I'm so on top of you with this shit, about those days are over. There's no more playing nice with people who are freaking evil communists, and that's what they are. I'm sorry. Jack, you can't believe they're all evil communists. No, but I believe enough of them are that it doesn't matter. The majority of these people, the majority of the ones making noise, causing trouble, and doing shit are full-on communists, whether they know it or not. And I'm all for the Pinochet solution to communism, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? But there is no way this is going to hold up. But they know it won't hold up. They already know the outcome. What are they going to do? They're going to tell what? LAPD, go arrest those ICE guys for violating California law? That's not going to happen. Even the sheriffs in most of California are like way more conservative than liberal in that particular office. Not all of them, but most of them. I mean, LAPD chief and stuff like that. It's a very political, internal politics thing, right? Not running for office, but the internal politics of ass kissing and ball licking is how you get there. But sheriffs have to actually run on a popular vote. And sheriffs, you know, handle more of the rural areas and what have you. So their highest law enforcement officer in your state, right, at the county level is the county sheriff. That's who can actually go up in the face of the feds and say, you're in violation of our policy and our law, but they're not going to do anything. So this is going to go straight to courts. Now, they might get a couple really stupid LAPD officers or something like that to arrest some ICE agents. That'll be interesting. They might try to recreate the Boston Massacre and try to create a shooting conflict. I'm sure that the federal officers will be told not to do it. If they arrest you, just let them. We'll have you out in a day. Don't worry about it, right? And then try to make a big monkey show out of it, which won't go anywhere. But what they want is a conflict in the courts that they know they're going to lose so they can say this proves Trump's in a dictator. And this gives them ammunition for the next stage, which is stacking the court, which is what they wanted to do for 20 years. They've talked about doing it. And we have to do it now because it's a 6-3, even though Comey Barrett is not a solid conservative at all, except for one issue, which made her a bad pick for the court. So it's really 5-4, right? I'm sorry, it is. But that's the play. And this is for Newsom to run on for president in 2028. That's what this is, just so you know. And watch it all happen exactly the way that I said it would. All right, now, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the Charlie Kirk shooting, and the technicalities of it, I'm not going to talk about it again for a long time. There's still the stupid people with the ballistics shit. And like I said, now the ballistics people are experts on terminal ballistics and what a round would do in the neck. But for a week, we listened to them all say, he wasn't shot in the neck. He was hitting his bulletproof vest, and it turned around, and that sliced his throat, and that's what killed him. Which never made any sense to anybody that understood anything about terminal ballistics. Because some of you don't understand anything about terminal ballistics. Owning guns and shooting paper does not make you understand ballistics or terminal ballistics, but at least it can help you understand ballistics. Ballistics are the time in flight, the arc of the flight, sectional density, ballistic coefficient, muzzle velocity, retained energy. That's all ballistics. When the bullet hits, everything changes. But we can say certain things, and that is a standard level 2 ballistic vest and a .30-06 round will go through it. Now, will it turn it? Will it manipulate it? Yeah, but it's not going to completely deflect it. We know that. Like I said, there's probabilities of things in terminal ballistics. But we also know what type of body armor, not bulletproof vest, body armor will prevent the penetration of a 30 cal round traveling at about 2,700 to 2,800 feet per second. We know exactly what it takes to reliably, not even every time, but to reliably stop that round. Level 3 armor, okay? Let me show you something. I happen to own something. This heavy ass thing right here, this big bulky plate carrying armor thing right here, all right, this, right, this is what you'd have to have under that thin ass shirt of his, showing his man nipples. You'd have to be wearing this to prevent that round from penetrating. But I'm not done yet. See, inside that carrier is this. It weighs about, I would say this weighs about 15 pounds. This goes right here. Hear that? Hear that? This is what it takes to stop a 30 cal round moving, 26, 27, 2800 feet per second. And it will almost always do the job. It will almost always do the job. This is not what Charlie Kirk was wearing. Now, I've noticed something. I must not be the only one to have brought this to your attention. Okay? I must not be the only one that brought this to your attention, because all of a sudden, all those people that knew all the things about the bullfrog have shut up and they've gone on other stories. But it's the same people. The person who didn't understand this doesn't know what the ballistics, terminal ballistics of somebody being hit in the neck are either. Please don't listen to these people. Look, there's better tech out there, lighter. You show me something that will stop a freaking 30 cal round out of an 06. You show me that. You're full of crap, dude. You're full of crap. There's nothing you're going to wear under that shirt that wouldn't print like a bitch. That's going to deflect and drive the round 90 degrees upward. Now, let me tell you something about rounds being driven upward. I'll tell you what'll do that. Bone. Bone will. When you listen to these people tell you what a bullet would or would not do when it hits somebody in the neck, where they don't know the angle, they don't know from the direction, they don't know exactly where his head was in relation to the shot being fired, they don't know the type of bullet. Was it a nozzle or partition? Was it a hollow point? Was it light for caliber? Was it heavy for caliber? What is the Sierra boat tail? Was it full metal jacket? But they don't know, but they know, right? They don't know any of that shit, but they know. Because if it was something like a fairly frangible 150 grain, something you would use on deer designed to open up really quickly, it could in fact lodge in the vertebrae of the neck. I'm not saying it did. I'm saying people are saying the FBI said that, but the FBI didn't say anything. People are saying what the FBI said. That's not the same as the FBI saying something, right? But it certainly could happen. I don't think it's likely, but what did I say? It's probability. But here's something that actually happened. I shot a deer one time, 246 steps. So somewhere in the 240-yard range. Dead solid rest, 7mm Magnum, 165-grain Sierra boat tail. This is a round very, very, very capable of blowing through both sides, through and through, lung shot on an elk. Yeah? This is a Sitka deer. They look like a little elk. Weighed about 200 pounds. And I shot this deer in the shoulder blade because it was kind of on a fronting on position where I really couldn't get at the non-shoulder blade protected heart-lung area. But that round, it should have just shattered that shoulder blade, opened the round up, blew through the engine room, and just dynamited this deer. And when I pulled the trigger, the deer was dynamited. Straight down. Straight to the ground. And then I look and I look through the scope and the head's doing this, flailing around, legs not moving, head flailing around, flailing around, flailing around, flailing around. I don't have a sidearm. I was hunting without a handgun. I don't ever since that happened, I've never hunted without a sidearm ever again for this type of situation. So I end up walking up on the animal, and if you've ever seen a Sitka deer, they have elk-like antlers and it's like just flailing these daggers everywhere. And I ended up shooting it kind of right there, like under the ear with this cannon of mine from the hip at like 10 feet to end it. Because I wasn't even going to think about trying to like cut an artery or something and get hurt, right? Like it would have been so great to have a pistol to just do the deed at that point. I didn't want to blow what was left of the meat out of it or anything. But once you, something like that happens, then you're like, oh shit. What happened? The round went in, and if you've ever actually, like, butchered a deer, you know the shoulder blade has these two ridges on it. The round hit right about the bottom of that V where they notch together. It hit that shoulder blade. It did crack it, but it didn't go all the way through. It turned upward, and it broke the spine. The spine was fractured. And so the reason the deer dropped like dynamite, he was literally paralyzed. Paralyzed from basically the spine down between the shoulder blades. Barely bled. Didn't hit a single major blood vessel or organ. If the round had gone up and missed the spine and out, like, to the front side of the spine, I would have crippled that deer and we would have never found it. So don't tell me you know what a bullet does when it hits somebody in the neck from 150 yards, because you don't. Because nobody does. If you are a ballistics expert, you can go over probabilities, and you can look at the path, and that can give you information about the round and where it was fired from and all that, but you still don't know. It's impossible to know. You've gone from the world of mechanistic physics, where everything can be predicted, to the quantum physics, where things must be based on probability, which is what quantum physics actually is, if you didn't know that. But what do I know? Because in the words of AOC, since I didn't go to college, I'm ignorant and stupid. Even though she has a Columbia degree in economics and cannot give you the economics of a lemonade stand. But I'm done hearing people tell me that somebody could wear this and show their man nipples through a thin shirt and you wouldn't know it. This is dumb. This is dumb. This is dumb. This is dumb. I'm sorry. And as somebody else said, they don't deflect rounds. They more absorb them. But they will kind of shatter, but it didn't happen. And if it did happen, there would be no reason for them to lie to you about it. That's what I always try to get across to people in the conspiracy theory things. Some of them are definitely true or have an element of truth. But when people immediately start coming up with all these theories, you have no evidence, but then the theory itself doesn't make any sense. To what end? What would they, the NASA Juice Space Laser Penguins, whatever they are, what would they gain by not saying he was wearing a vest? Or saying he wasn't when he was? Like, what would be the purpose of that? Because there were really 13 shooters on the grassy knoll, bro. It's the magic bullet theory all over again. No, it's the magic bullet theory and your bullshit detector not working all over again. It's just dumb. Brandon says the lies are overwhelming in this case. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You need to stop with that. Now, am I saying that nothing else is involved? I'll tell you the conspiracy theory that I think is most likely, but I won't put it out there as being probable or being what happened because I don't know. But my guess is there was probably some fuckery going on Discord that involved some FBI agents instigating some shit because they do it all the time. That, if you guys were on that, and you had any evidence, I'd be tracking it down with you. But when you're just fabricating shit because it doesn't make sense to you, I don't listen to you. Because I know no matter, even if there is more to it, you're not on the right track because you have no evidence behind it. None. And this is a big problem we have. The government is incompetent in messaging. Lots of people say lots of things who should keep their mouth shut from government agencies and speak too soon, too fast about things they do not know. This then becomes evidence of deception instead of evidence of incompetence. So when Cash Patel is telling you we have a suspect in custody, we have a person of interest in custody, first of all, he shouldn't say that. He shouldn't say that. Because it's not because it's not true. It's because a person of interest doesn't even equal a suspect. But to the media and to the public, they got him. That's not him. Oh. Oh. And then, but now we have proof of something. All you have proof of is that Cash Patel's an idiot. I've never said he wasn't. I mean, dude, look at the picture, his official picture that he posed for. That's as good as you could do on a pose? I mean, I see the guy all the time. He doesn't look like that. Like, I'm sorry. I think you're an idiot if you're Cash Patel, and that alone makes you an idiot. Let's say I'm going to put my suit on. I'm getting my official government picture, and I look like I'm freaking stoned out of my gourd because my eyes look like something from a cartoon. I'm like, you know, I know it's expensive, digital cameras and all that. Right. Like, we need to retake that one. Like, anybody with a brain would retake that picture. And Tugger says his eyes are crazy. Yes, in the picture, but he doesn't look like that all the time. Why would you make, like, I don't know, maybe he's trying to intimidate leftards or something, but it's just dumb. All right, moving on. The last thing I want to talk about today is just where we're going with this. If you don't understand why I'm so angry, and you understand my new attitude toward all this, I can understand something, and I can know you probably shouldn't be subject to it, but I can still be subject to it. And in this case, what I'm talking about is a lack of justice. We have no justice in this society. If you are for common sense and decency, and you actually recognize there's two genders and all of the other basic things that our society has been based on for hundreds of years, then you are the enemy according to the left. And the left controls the media, and the left controls academia, and the left controls the bureaucracy. And that means there can't be justice. That's why you'll have the same people who committed acts of censorship for the last decade in mass scream about one guy who got fired because he didn't listen to his boss and his ratings sucked, that's a free speech issue. And most of the media will back it. Every one of these talking heads that you can find telling you how the government should not interfere and blah, 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 like, where were they when all of these people on the right were censored? Where were they when people that were freaking board certified physicians were censored by 18-year-olds working as interns for social media? Where were they? Where were they? They were nowhere to be found. So the people like us, right, the people who like don't believe in crazy as policy, are now at a point where we're never going to have any justice. We're never going to have any. We've realized you can even elect your side, whatever that means, and you're not getting justice. You can elect somebody that campaigns on America First and immediately supports all the foreign wars and sends all the money overseas anyway, right? You can do the best you thought you could do and still have it thrown in your face. And the other things, even if the elected government stuff changes a little bit in your direction, all the rest just continues to get worse, and they'll all get away with it. And even when they don't get away with it, it still feels like they got away with it. There's a point where good men become vigilantes. And there's more than one way for that to happen. That doesn't always involve violence and guns. There's lots of ways where people start to say, you know what? They want to play dirty. We're going to play fucking dirty too. All of a sudden, people who legitimately believed that it was wrong to censor people are making databases of people so they can be censored. And they won't apologize. And I will not say they're wrong. Because when someone, let me just put it a different way. If you don't know me from Adam, and I come up to you in a public place, and I slap you in the face, how many times do you let me slap you before you do something physically to me? Like, what's reasonable? And let's say I didn't, like, full on, like, just beat the shit. So I just, you know, something like a small woman smack. Like, it stings a little, but you don't really, it really didn't hurt you. And you're a lot bigger than me. So you could just crush my skull, right? Like Borked Bit says -1, which I think is a legitimate answer, right? Like, I think if you walk up to me and I didn't do anything, you just slap me, you're fixing to get it. Now, I'm not going to pull my gun out and shoot you, but you're probably getting cracked into it. Like, if you hit me at a 1, I'm probably going to punch you at a 4, assuming I'm capable of a 10. I'm going to be a 40%, 50% power right in the, because I know if I get you in the chin, you're going to sleep anyway, right? But something's going to happen. So let me put it a different way then. Metaphorically, how many times have sane people, let's not even worry about left and right, sane people, people who said we shouldn't lock down society over a bad cold, people who said we should listen to actual doctors about actual things, people that had opinions that differed with the mainstream, how many times in the last 10 years have we been smacked in the face? How many? 10? 20? 100? Or is the number incalculable at this point? When you have the guy that co-created mRNA technology censored by people who do not have a rudimentary understanding of the scientific method, I consider that a slap in all of our faces. when you have a duly elected president of the United States, even if it had been Biden, and you get all the major tech companies together and they all en masse censor that at the same time. Oh, and do we forget about Parler, which actually was going to be something, right? But then Google and Apple colluded to destroy that company, to break all the momentum it had at the same time? Was that a slap in the face? Kevin says the Biden auto pen. Is that not a smack in the face? I mean, I haven't even gone into that one, but I think the vast majority of those pardons, if the Trump administration makes any real attempt to prosecute those people, those pardons, you can wipe your ass with a pardon. Auto pens are not allowed for that. Auto pens, like Trump said, auto pens are like a little kid writes you a letter. President can't answer all the letters, so they send a letter back, and it's signed with the auto. Like that's let me tell you something about auto pens. It's very obvious to any rudimentary handwriting expert when it's an auto pen, because there's subtle differences in every signature that the same person makes, and there's not just differences in shapes and swopes and things like that. There's subtle differences in pressure. Like you press harder at the beginning or harder at the end, depending. And the more you sign, the sloppier you get, right? So when you look at somebody's signature to authenticate it, you're looking for variations within a window that says it's also official. And auto pen, they're all the same. It's literally a robotic computer doing it. So any expert, right, can look at that and go, auto pen, auto pen, auto pen, Joe Biden, auto pen, auto pen, auto pen. It would take 10 seconds in a court of law if you had a square judge to have that, like, this was auto pen. And what are you going to do? Go get the senile old man who's dying of prostate cancer to testify, oh, yeah, I remember, I actually did. No. He all but admitted it. He said, like, they're law, like, they just gave me this big list, and I said, okay, and then they did. Is that justice? Is that justice? We had people that were put in prison for over a year because they were at a protest that, yes, turned violent on some levels, but most of them didn't do anything. The media lied and claimed 6 law enforcement officers were killed on January 6th. And half the people in this country are so stupid they still believe it. And you know how many people were killed on January 6th? One, it wasn't a cop. Her name was Ashley Babbitt. She was killed by a cop. There was one cop that died on January 7th the next day because he had a stroke. He was not killed by any injuries sustained on January 6th. That's what happened, and we were lied about there. They put people in prison, federal prison, the shittiest federal prisons, with zero due process for more than 6 months. Where is the justice? So I'm telling you that we're this close. We're this close. Right now, Jack Spirico's opinion is the extreme opinion. I don't know that my opinion is going to get much more extreme than it is, but I have a feeling if this shit keeps up, give it 6 months, and this will be the moderate opinion. Because people are done. Right? Jake Reed says, we were told it was worse than 9/11. And my millennial ass took that personally. Well, I don't even know what he means by that, because he's all over the place with things. But we weren't just told it was worse than 9/11. It was like 9/11 and Pearl Harbor Day together. Now, this was also after the Summer of Love, where they burnt down like 40 giant cities in this country, and the media went out and told us they were fiery, but mostly peaceful protests. This is where Kyle Rittenhouse shot 3 people, and 2 of them are magically pedophiles. And the other guy wasn't such a nice guy either. What are the odds of that even happening? If you shoot 3 people, they're all felons and 2 of them are pedophiles. If you randomly shot people, now they weren't really randomly shot, but the left made Kyle out to be a white supremacist that went there with the intent of killing people when he was attacked and defended himself quite well, might I add. Right? And then people were upset with Kyle. He wasn't exactly perfect after the fact. He's a kid. Of course he wasn't. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. We, Pencil Neck Shift, tried to say his colleagues were attacked and beaten. Yeah, they weren't attacked and beaten. AOC said she barely survived. She wasn't even there. She was in a building across the street. they found bombs and then we just didn't hear about them, right? Like, there's so much bullshit in this. And to be fair to the people I just railed on for the Charlie Kirk crap and all the conspiracy, you know why that happens? Because of all this. You will never trust the official story because the people that give you the official story, you no longer trust. That's actually a strategy to destroy a society, by the way. I'm not saying that means they're worthy of trust. I'm the last person to trust anybody. What I trust is common sense and my own eyes and ears and what I saw happen. That's why I don't believe all. Now, if somebody brings me a legitimate alternative storyline, I'll look into it. I won't immediately accept it, but I'll look into it. But I haven't heard one yet. I've heard a bunch of nonsense, and I've heard a bunch of shit about Israel because Israel's bad. You're not going to have to convince me Israel's bad. You're not going to have to convince me that they do evil shit. You don't have to convince me that they would assassinate somebody. You have to convince me they did it here under these circumstances based on what we have as far as information, and you don't have anything. It's nonsense. And I hate to see people do you know what's bothering me about it? People I really like and really respect going straight down those rabbit holes with no pause, no thought, no reflection, just instantly coming up with anything they can to support the narrative because everybody wants to be first to get it right. So if I guess 100 things and give 100 different ways and one of them comes out, I'll say, look what I said on September 11th, right? Bullshit. It's all nonsense. All right. So, okay, I'll answer that, and then I'm gonna hit some. There was some stuff came in. Some people threw me some super chats. I always owe it to answer those. Liberty Garden says, "What do you make of the text allegedly in quotes exchanged by Tyler and his furry lover?" I think they are completely legitimate, but I don't think the government fabricated them. Because if I was going to fabricate them at the government level, even our incompetent government level, it could have been better. It could have been better done. There was no attempt made by two tech-savvy young people to hide the exchange. None. What I really think is probable, but again, don't ever say Jack said this is what happened, but I think this is very, very probable and possible. Furry Boy knew what he was doing. And once the reality struck Tyler, I'm effed. I ain't getting away. I'm not getting on a plane to Mexico or whatever. Like I'm going to have to turn myself in. It's the only play I have left because I'm not willing to put a gun in my own mouth and blow my head off or jump off a building. Right. I'm not willing to do that, at least yet anyway. And I can't get away. And if I pull up somewhere, they're going to murder me, which is what the story is, that's why he contacted a sheriff's officer who his family knew for a long time and went through him to turn himself in, okay? I think it's very probable that entire exchange was to give the furry boy-girlfriend, whatever the hell, and the problem with trans, right? It's a guy. It's his boyfriend. And he wasn't fully transitioned yet, whatever that means, right? He was transitioning, whatever that means, right? I thought you could just decide you were a woman and then you were a woman. I don't know. Like, a trans man, what is that? Does that mean a woman who lives as a man, or is that a man who lives as a woman? It doesn't make sense. Okay. But anyway, the trans furry dude thing, I think knew. And I think that whole, like, I'm caught. They know I did it. I'm going to give him plausible deniability. That is what I think most likely happened there. That's what I think happened. Now, am I sure that happened? No, and that's why I would never be an irresponsible fucking retard and go out and say, what really happened is, I think that's a plausible alternative story. And I think that even if the FBI knows it, and even if like Utah State PD knows it, what they want is an airtight conviction of Tyler. They want the case so tight that they go in and say, just plead guilty and maybe we take the death penalty off the table. I think the only thing preventing that is public opinion, right? Because people want blood. They want blood for blood. But they might. They still might do it. And they would go to Furry Boy and say, listen, you need to sing, buddy. You need to tell us everything and we'll decide what we take from you. But if you talk, if you sing like a canary, we will make a deal with you that we will not prosecute you. That's why no three names? What is middle name? I don't give a shit about stuff like that. Like, please explain in episode 13 why you said this, but in episode 127 you said this. You're that dude at a freaking sci-fi convention when you stalk. Like, I don't give a shit about three names. I don't care about. I don't even know where you're coming with that. I don't care. But I do think it's probable, at least possible, and at least, you know, more than likely than not, that maybe that was because it's like weird to fully confess everything. But I'll also tell you something else. I'll also tell you something else that happens. When people commit an act like that, you think if you did it, you would just disappear and no one would ever know. And you might. It takes a certain type of person to commit the act, but it also takes a different level of a person to commit the act and go on with their life like nothing happened. We've all probably done something we shouldn't have when we were a kid or a teen or a young adult. And even if you never got caught for it, you probably told somebody. There's this, like, if you have any decency in you, there's this weight now that I've done this horrible thing and I need to tell somebody. And who better to tell than your furry boy girlfriend, right? I mean, so it could be that he was giving him cover, and it could be because he just needed to tell somebody, and the person he was closest to and the person he felt was most likely to understand him was furry boy. Now, the other side of that might also been when furry boy, like, let's say furry boy didn't know, and when he's like, it's not you, what you did that, like, however it went down, like, that might have also been, I really do need to turn myself in. Like, if even my furry boy toy buddy thing didn't understand this, then, and there is a lot of criminals who get caught this way. They basically turn themselves in because they get to a point where they want that emotional weight to come off them. And at the time, they don't realize, well, when that weight comes off, you're going to federal prison and how big that weight's going to be. But I've seen enough interviews with enough people eventually caught where once they're caught and they know they're caught, they just open up like a pressure release valve and they let it all out. All right, real quick before I answer a couple questions, I want to tell you about today's item of the day. I thought about doing this one in the beginning because it could go away. My favorite electronics brand, like value electronics brand, is a company called Anker, A-N-K-E-R. And when it comes to audio, their Soundcore line is great. They have on sale today the V20i open ear headphones. And what open ear means is they don't go inside your ear. They kind of set in your ear so that you can actually hear things around them. So they're better for situational awareness. But the big thing with them is they have a loop that goes over the ear. Now, I know a lot of people like a little tiny earbuds and stuff that go deep inside your ear or whatever. I can't use them. And the reason I can't use them, I don't mind them. They don't hurt, whatever. They fall out. No matter what tip I put on them, they fall out. Last week, I lost my original, my looped ones that I had from Anker that they don't make anymore. And so I was using a backup pair, and I'm out filling up the duck pools, and I'm dumping the duck shit water out of the duck pool. And as I bend over, it bloop right into the duck poop water. It actually survived. It actually survived. It didn't die, but it had to be cleaned before I was willing to put it back into my ear. And that's just a problem. And when does one of those things fall out? Always when you are cleaning the duck water, or always when you're in deep grass mowing the lawn, or always when you're doing something where they really need not to. That's when you're, you know, working on an aquatic system and your hands are covered in muck and now you feel it and you don't want to touch yourself, but you have to. And it, yeah, right. So that's why I like the over-the-ear loops for my earpieces. Having talked to people, I'd say about 30 to 40% of people have this issue, and a lot of people, they stick them in their ears and they say, I don't know what it is, and it's my left ear more than my right. But here's the bigger deal. These things sound great. They're awesome. They work with the Soundcore app. You have all kinds of control on the equalizer. You can take individual control of all the bands, or there's all kinds of presets. They have great sound. They do all that. $23 freaking, guys. Are you kidding me? $23. Now, they're like $40 if you're not a Prime member. Most of you probably are Prime members. That's like pays for 20% of your Prime membership in one purchase, though. $23 and change. They normally sell for $50. Now, I'm good at pattern recognition. I recommended Anchor for a long time. You guys know this. Usually when there's that steep of a discount on an Anchor product, going into the holiday period, before the holiday sales start, they are liquidating inventory because they're discontinuing the item. I got them this week, and they're great. And before I put this out today, before you hooligans order them all, I already ordered another one because I'm afraid they're going to sell out. So check these out, and remember, you can always help us out no matter what you buy. If you start your shopping at tspaz.com, if you go there right now, you can find those and everything else that I recommend. But you just go to survivalpodcast.com and scroll down. You'll see that post right under this podcast or right now at the top if you're still listening to me live. And you can help us out no matter what you buy. Thomas here says, Anchor Bluetooth speakers are awesome in a pair, and they are. I mean, I love – there's two electronics brands that make kind of different shit. One more test and measurement stuff and, like, automation stuff, and that's E-Tech City. And the one that's more, like, audio stuff, backup power, power adapters, cables, all of that is Anchor, A-N-K-E-R. What I love about these companies is it is not that they never have a lemon. You cannot be in the electronics business, make millions of a product, and not have some bad ones. They are both this way. Oh, you got a bad product. Don't worry about it. Don't return it. Here's a new one. That's bad. In 2025, that is a badass way to be. That means that you believe in taking care of your customer. You don't want something that's broken back. Now, if you did it 6 months after you bought it, they might not do that. But, like, I've gotten a bad product from E-Tech City, and I emailed them and contact seller, and they're like, we'll just send you a whole new – it was a lantern. There was four of them. I had one bad lantern, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to – like, we'll just send you a whole new set. They ship in sets, so we'll just send you a new set. Those are the companies I want to deal with, even if they manufacture in China. I don't care. That's what I'm looking for. By the way, all the electronics like that is made in China. And if these things are selling that cheap at inventory reduction, they're probably pre-new tariff. Where the new product coming out will probably be post-new tariff. I'm just saying. If you need something like this, I would get them. Because even if they don't discontinue them, you're never going to regret buying them. I didn't get everybody's comments today. There was something weird going on in the feed where, like, people's comments were overlapping or something, some weird shit coming out of Rumble. I think I had one guy where they're cutting and pasting the same shit over and over again, and apparently I don't know how to ban people from Rumble from my studio, so I didn't get anybody else's stuff. But if you do a super chat, even for like 99 cents, it automatically puts it aside for me. Long Road Farms, $20. Thank you, bro. Love the show. Here's a little something. Thank you. No question there, but I appreciate you. Again, that's from Long Road Farms. And then T River Rat, who's always around, $1.99. Hey, man, thank you. Some gas money there. And no comment or anything. Second Light Organic Farm, $5. Thank you. I'm glad I started watching the video podcast because seeing Jack get so animated is well worth it. You know, I do want to be clear about something. There are times where I'm like, and I'm doing it for some showboating and some entertainment and all like that. Right now, it's all genuine. This is how I feel right now. Will I ever go back to the Jack you knew for 17 years, who's on the edge but not over it? The honest answer is I don't know, but I don't think so. I think there are points in a man's life where you can cross a Rubicon and there isn't any coming back from it. Hey, I'm not on a bell tower or anything like that, and I'm not threatening to do it. So there's still hope, right? But where I am is I now refuse dialogue with those people because I see no – and I want to be clear about it too. I see no benefit to it. I see no benefit to it. Not for me. I don't begrudge the next Charlie Kirk or the next 200 Charlie Kirks. I think turning point chapters and doing exactly what he did, God bless the people that do it. I'm not that guy. There's a guy I follow on X. We get along real well. His name's Jack Togan. And so he's other Jack to me, right? And he put up a picture of himself. He's a military contractor or whatever with a couple of rifles in his hand. He said, I'm not the heart and minds kind of guy. I'm the other kind of guy. Yeah, me too. Especially now. Like, I'll reach the heart and minds of people who I feel can be reached. And then Traveling Foodie John, whatever that, J-A-W-N, Traveling Foodie John. Hey, Jack, big fan since 10, but have not been a diligent listener as of late. But coming back around, would you ever do a Rogan podcast, long overdue? If you mean would I go on Joe Rogan, of course I would. I don't think I'm Joe Rogan material. I don't think I'm what Joe Rogan's looking for or Joe Rogan's programming people are looking for. I would love it. If you guys ever want to pick up the, like, you guys got me like on, years ago, you guys got me on the Glenn Beck show, right? If you guys want to try, that's fine. But I don't think that I'm what Joe Rogan's looking for in a personality. And I think it's because I'm so multidisciplined. And so since I'm not, I think like if I went and what I wanted to talk about was, you know, nutrition and I geared it for that and I, like just for the next month, nothing but nutrition shows, then maybe, right? Or permaculture or rotational grazing or like there's so many things that I could talk about with Rogan on that show that are a different take and enlightening. But I think when you look at like I am like mini Rogan, right? Like, and I don't say that out of any ego, like micro mini Rogan, right? Like I cover all the things. And I just don't know that that's what they're looking for. But there's a lot of people say you should go on their show. Guys, the number one way I can get on somebody else's show is for you to tell them. When I go to them, I'm just a low-level podcaster in their mind trying to increase my reach with their name. When you go, you're a member of their audience. When I hear from you guys say you should interview so-and-so, assuming so-and-so is somebody that's even reachable, I at least consider it. You know, if I get two or three or four people telling me the same person, I usually send them an email and that's something like I've heard from several members of my audience that we should have you on. This is my show. This is what we do. Here's the guest form. If you'd like to be on, please fill it out and we'll get you booked. And that's it. That's all I do. When I get back, we don't fill out forms. Then you don't get on the show. Goodbye. That's how it works. Even if your name's Ken Berry. By the way, Ken Berry will be on this week because he's got an admin assistant now that fills out forms for him. So that's how, so he'll be on Wednesday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening. Please buy my book if you haven't, Laws of Life by Jack Spiracle, available on Amazon, Laws of Life, Ditch the System, Design Your Life, or consider becoming a member of the MSB today. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com. Click on members with that. Thank you to every one of you that have supported me over the years. It's been 17 years, 17 wonderful years working with this community. I promise I may be over the top now. I may be a little more hard jack, hard edged. But in the end, I'm still the same guy and I'm still here for you. And my number one goal isn't going to be to rage bait ever. My number one goal is going to help you live that better life if times get tough or even if they don't. But it looks like they're getting tough. So let's build something worth having. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about business because that's a productive thing to do at any time. Thank you. Catch you guys tomorrow. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way. Let me show you a better way.